Good morning, 7 o'clock hour. We are going to get to Sheila and her letter to the fans, right in the obituary on this season. That's at 7:35. Looking ahead, though, John, the Super Bowl window as a concept, right? Lions had a chance last year in the NFC title, up 17 points. They had a chance this year as the one seed at home. Neither year results in a berth in the Super Bowl. Dan Campbell was asked about losing these coordinators and whether the Super Bowl window was still open. This is what he had to say.
He's right.
So what's your answer if I asked you?
Are they still in the Super Bowl window? 100%. Yes. Answer is yes.
How open is the window? Can you put a number of years on it?
I mean, I would, as everything stands right now, a minimum of 3 years. Going forward, I'm not just talking about the last two that we had saying, well, there's one more year, because, and he mentioned it in regards to key players in pivotal roles across their roster. Your quarterback, he's locked up. Amon-Ra St. Brown just got locked up. Penei Sewell just got locked up. Jameson Williams. The question for him, and we'll talk about this throughout, you know, as the offseason progresses, is he's going into his fourth year. Are you going to pick up that fifth year option? And if the answer is yes, okay, you got at least two more years with him. Tim Patrick. Okay, that's we've seen over the last couple of years, that's kind of an interchangeable piece and part. They'll find somebody that's going to be good there. I like Tim Patrick. Love to see him for maybe one more year, but he's had injury issues in his career. He's getting older. Defensively, you're going to be getting back Aiden Hutchinson, who they're probably going to extend this year, just like they did Penei Sewell last year. Ali McNeil, re-signed him. DJ Reader's got another year on his contract. Pascal is still locked up for, 2 years? And then you look at the linebackers. I don't see Anzalone going anywhere. In fact, they just re-upped him last year. Jack Campbell, still young. Kirby Joseph, that's the guy that you're going to have to lock up, but I think that they will. Brian Branch, young. Tyrion Arnold, young. Like, Amik Robertson. If you look at losing Carlton Davis, you've got a guy that they could step in there. Now you're going to have to get Tyrion Arnold to progress from year one to year two, which I think he will. But you've got a lot of really good players at all those positions.
I would put it in terms of like when a player signs a contract. I think it's a two-year window with an option for more. I say 2 years because I don't know if Ragnow's here beyond 2 years.
Right.
In 2 years, all these contracts they signed really hit the books in an aggressive way, and you'll feel a cap crunch. In the next 2 years, they'll have had to make decisions on Branch and Joseph, and maybe they can't keep both and can only keep one. Same with Sam Laporta in there. Jack Campbell, Alex Anzalone will be up in the next 2 years. In the NFL, we see about a 3 or 4 year time period with a group, and then parts have to be swapped out. Now, that's where I bring the option in. If Brad Holmes is putting more coal in the furnace and he's drafting more all pros in the second, third, and fourth round, well, then the window extends beyond 2 years. But as this group is constituted, I envision Taylor Decker is gone in the next 2 years, and Frank Ragnow is gone after 2 years. And this offensive line, which has been a strength, could look very different. Ideally, Giovanni Manu and Christian Mahogany are starters and very good starters. I don't know. So I would tell you have 2 years as currently constituted. And if that seems too short, I would just stress to people, the window is always shorter than you realize. San Francisco 49ers thought this window was going to be much longer than it is, and they are facing some very real harsh realities now. I think 2 years is my number. I don't think it's one. I want to see how they swap these coordinators. I don't know that it's three, though. Because, I just don't know what the roster looks like as these contracts really start to set in.
You can manipulate contracts.
Yeah, you can
kick money down the road. I know Gator likes to say that the salary cap is a myth. It's not a myth, but there are a lot of ways that you can be creative to continue to extend your window. Look at what the Rams have done. And they had to make some harsh decisions. In fact, they had one guy that they thought they were going to have for a little bit longer in Aaron Donald that just up and retired. And what did they do? They've drafted really good defensive linemen
and
impact players. So, that's why I believe right now I'm going to say a minimum of 3 years, because I don't think that Brad Holmes just all of a sudden forgets how to evaluate talent and forgets how to draft. You can replace some of this talent while you're getting the best years of Aleem McNeil, while you're getting the best years of Amon-Ra St. Brown and J-Mo. That's going to be one that's going to be a question. how do you replace that talent? Can you do it in the second, third, fourth rounds? Because let's face it, at 28th, okay, you get the fifth year option, but the talent pool that you're drafting from is different than it is in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be fair. Kirby Joseph's a third-round pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a fourth-round pick. These guys,
Mahogany's a sixth-round pick.
And the first two are all pros, and Mahogany has some upside.
He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, I think he played very well. You just won't have access to the Penei Sewells and the Aiden Hutchinsons of the world, which are bedrocks, and you already drafted them. I say it's two. You guys tell us, 248-539-9797. And because we know tomorrow isn't promised, and because Dan Campbell himself has said they may have already had their best shot, I do want to see a more aggressive offseason. We know they inquired about Max Crosby this last season. He's starting to talk a little bit and starting to connect. I would be aggressively pursuing Max Crosby. Win the Super Bowl now, because it already feels like they've wasted two very good chances. What you don't want to do is swap out two coordinators, play a tougher schedule, fall short again next, and you're going, we're burning really good years right now. I think you got to be very careful operating under the idea that it's just going to go on forever. I think as great a job as Brad Holmes has done, do we really expect him to be drafting 3 and 4 all pros every year? I think a little bit of that is unicorny. I don't know that that's going to continue every single year in perpetuity.
Unicorny. I haven't heard that one before. That's a good one. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't happen like this every year. Even his last draft. Did they draft 3 all pros in the last draft?
No, they didn't have as many bites at the apple.
Right. That's kind of where this is going, is what I'm saying.
But I also think, and I don't think anybody thinks that it's an endless window.
Right.
It's not going to go on forever. Yes, there are going to be years where you're going to have to take some hits, rebuild. How do you win games, enough games to get into the playoffs and have a shot at doing something in those years while you are waiting for your cap to reset and be able to spend some more money and, you know, keep some guys that you are drafting. And that's, okay, it's somewhat a, you know, you have a lot of riches right now.
Yeah.
And how do you manage while you're rich, where the money's going, how long you're going to extend guys, and can you tap into, very much like New England did in that, 20-year run that they had under Belichick and Brady, the ability to go get some veteran guys that maybe haven't won a Super Bowl in their career, and they've made a bunch of money, and they're looking to, what I need is a ring. I need a legacy. I made a bunch of money. I want a chance to win it all. Detroit is one of those destinations where people will want to go when they're still productive to win a ring.
248-539-9797. Dan Campbell says the window is very much open, that they have their core, they're signed here, they're locked up, and he really cited the culture, the identity, and the fact that that is going to remain in place even without Ben Johnson, even without Aaron Glenn.
That stays here as long as Dan Campbell's here.
Yeah. And again, offensively, it feels like he sets the tone, collaborative, but he has set the tone offensively. He's been super involved since late 2021 when they moved on from Anthony Lynn. Defensively, we don't know what's going to happen there. But it feels like the defense should be better next year just because of the personnel that will be on the field instead of in the training room.
Right. And you're going to have a draft.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to add talent in that draft. You're going to have free agency. And I don't expect them to go all wild and crazy. I do think there is an interesting conversation to have about Max Crosby. And it's going to be, what are you willing to give up? What would Brad Holmes be willing to give up? Because you're going to be talking about first round picks.
Plural.
And what would the Raiders be looking for? Because the 28th pick this year and the, hopefully the 32nd pick next year isn't quite that enticing. So, and they're kind of in that position where there's no path to a stud quarterback for them. There's no path to a quarterback.
Yeah, but you could throw Hendon Hooker in there too.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
I'm saying
I want to sweeten the deal. But if you're creative and you're looking at an organization like the Raiders that need a path to a quarterback, what's their number one asset? Their number one asset's Max Crosby. How do they leverage him to eventually get to that path?
They're going to have a new coach. They're going to be starting over. Max Crosby has publicly talked about how much he admires what Detroit's doing, appreciates what the Lions have built, how everybody, including his former teammate, Amik Robertson, has raved about Dan Campbell in this culture. I don't know that this window is 3 years and beyond. I think it's the next two. I think they should be aggressive in pursuing Max Crosby. I think to fall flat on their face the way they did on Saturday and the way that they blew it the year before in the NFC title game, I don't want to do this like, we'll get them one of these years. I want it to be we're getting them next year. I want, hey, we're chasing the Super Bowl with every ounce of energy that we have right in the offseason.
And you don't want to be just good enough to get in the playoffs.
No.
You want to be good enough to win it all. And you're looking at Pittsburgh going, okay, well, it's nice that they're always in the postseason, but what was it, 7 years, 6 years, 7 years since they've won an actual playoff game?
You don't want to get stuck.
You don't want to get stuck in that realm either.
7:35, we'll get to Sheila's letter to the fans, and we'll write the obituary on this Lions season. It's 97.1. All right, guys, new year, new resolutions, better diets, workout plans, but don't forget about your teeth. Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. If you put off seeing a dentist in 2024 or even beyond, make a plan to come and see them in 2025. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. They've got 9 Metro Detroit locations, including the newest in Trenton. It's a new community, but it's the same great personalized care, free of judgment. They're accepting new patients, $35 new patient special. That's 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. Brightside Dental, no judgment, just care.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lions have squandered two great chances to win a Super Bowl. Up 17 points, halftime of the NFC title game, and then most recently, 15-win team, home field throughout the NFC playoffs, don't win a single playoff game. The idea of Super Bowl windows, I think they're always shorter than people realize. The idea that you're going to win and win and win forever, ask the Niners. You know, they've been to a couple Super Bowls, players are getting older, cap's becoming a real thing. The Eagles won a Super Bowl and then had to change many of the pieces on their roster before they went back to another. And that was in a short 4-year span. For the Lions, we've asked you guys the question, how open is this window? Try to put kind of some time frame on it. I think it's 2 years with the option for more if Rad Holmes cooks and continues.
Sure, there's always options for more.
But I think firmly it's about a 2-year window because I think at that point, Sewell might be the only current offensive lineman still on the roster. I know Frank's been dealing with some things. Is he here
starting beyond offensive lineman? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think Decker and Ragnow and Glasgow and Zeitler, are they all going to be here in 3 seasons?
Well,
probably
we don't
not.
Even know if Zeitler's here next year.
Right. My point is the foundation of this team is the offensive line, and you may lose 4 of the 5 in the next 2 seasons. That's the bedrock. And then the cap math. I love that they secured Sewell and St. Brown and Jared Goff, and they're going to secure Aiden Hutchinson. Can you keep 2 safeties in Joseph and Branch at all-pro salaries? Can you keep J-Mo and Laporta as they get set to be free agents in the next 2 years? Alex Anzalone will be up, and he may stay on, but into his 30s, does he lose a step? I think the window is always shorter than people realize. You're losing coordinators. You're going to lose players. I think they have a pretty firm 2-year window to still win the Super Bowl, but I hope that they treat it that way this offseason. I hope that they view it as, this is urgent. We've already squandered 2 really good chances.
Well, and I think Dan is hyper aware of that in regards to, I mean, just his comments last year. We don't know if we'll ever be back here.
Yeah.
You know, it's only going to get harder. And when we looked at this year, how did it get harder this year? Schedule. How does it get harder next year? Schedule, especially the road schedule. It's going to be a tough road. Are they able to secure the number 1 seed next year? I don't know. Kansas City's been able to do it for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they didn't, they were able to still win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, you're looking at all of these different parts of the equation. Okay, this year you're going to be losing coordinators. Eventually you're going to be losing players. How do you replace them? That's going to be the key to being able to have a sustained window of being a competitive franchise. And the number one test this year, coordinator hires, yeah. coaching staff. And then, you know, in the coming years, it's going to be, okay, how do you replace Frank? Who's your center going to be? Because that's the linchpin to that offensive line. How are you going to replace Taylor Decker? He's been here a long time. He's been really good. You've just extended him. And, you know, all of these different things. So it does need to come in the form of the draft. You can also complement it in free agency. And we've seen Brad Holmes, he's used free agency more to complement the roster
yes.
than it is to really add high-end talent to the roster.
Tom, where are you at on this whole window deal? And work in ticket text and everything else too, but how many years, if you had to say, are they going to truly be Super Bowl contenders?
I refuse to put a year on it. I know that's not the sexy answer. It's a very vague answer.
So they're going to be good forever.
Thanks, Tony.
No, I do think what Sheila said yesterday in the letter to the fans is true. They're sustainability. They're going to try to be winners every year. Right? John alluded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, do you want to be the team that's just good all the time and hasn't
yeah,
won in 15 years? You know, that's the reality of the Steelers right now. They haven't won a championship in 15 years. But they have the track record, and you have to trust that track record. That's why I don't want to really put a time frame on it. To me, you have a guy who's drafting right now that can replenish the system. It's going to be harder as things go on. I agree with you. Critically right now, the offensive line could become a real issue in the next year or two. There's a lot of moving parts. There'll be something in the Thursday touchdown about this tomorrow, by the way.
Tease.
But, you know, I trust them to continue to methodically overturn talent. I think JMO's an interesting decision. I don't know what these... Here's the one thing, is there is an unknown to what these guys are going to do when some of their people come up, their draft picks. Brad has to admit he's wrong. He's not going to be right every time. Mike says that in the afternoon all the time. He's not going to hit at this percentage, and I agree with Mike, too. It's just because nobody's ever done that. His drafting ability has been unbelievable, but right now... Where's the world where you keep JMO long term? You have to start making these decisions.
So he's under contract for one more year plus the team option for a fifth. You could reasonably still have two. It's why I say 2 years. At that point, LaPorta will be a free agent. JMO's a free agent. Branch and Kirby Joseph will have entered into that extension window.
I mean, too early to judge this draft class from last year. Terrion Arnold, John, you've told me off there, you think they're going to be fine with him, that he's going to end up being an above average corner. But was the Rakestraw pick necessary? You know, I can look right now, hindsight, and find an offensive lineman right around there that probably could have been there and helped this team. But then you took Mahogany and you took Manu. You know, will these guys be future cornerstones? I don't know. Mahogany looked good early. Manu's, who knows? Manu could be Broderick Martin. You know,
it's very possible.
So, Hooker, was that a waste? It's really looking like it
could
right now.
Could be Jordan Mailata.
Yeah. So, I think we still have to trust Brad Holmes right now. And that's why I say it's kind of open-ended. I refuse to put a time frame on it. The bottom line is here, it's not about winning consistently but never winning at all.
Right.
I mean, the St. Louis Blues did that for years in hockey. They were always the Red Wings' little bitch. I mean, you know, it's troubling to me that you didn't win a playoff game this year.
The reason,
after what you did during the regular season, you should have been able to outscore that team on Saturday.
In large part, why I put the 3-year window on it is, as it stands now, with the option to extend that, is because you have to have a franchise quarterback. And I do believe that you can win a Super Bowl with Goff. It's not going to be as easy as it would be with Josh Allen, who has not won a Super Bowl, or with, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, even Joe Burrow, who's not won a Super Bowl. But you've got to have a franchise quarterback. And Brad Holmes has said it's a lot easier to get worse at that position than it is better. When Goff gets to the point where he is no longer a franchise quarterback, what's your path to replacing him? That's the bigger question of all of it.
Yeah, if you're going beyond the next 2 or 3 years. But in the next 2 or 3 years, if Goff has an offensive line that takes a step back, aren't we all a little terrified for what that looks like? That,
yes.
That could be the thing that shrinks the window maybe quicker than anything else is, Frank, he's a warrior, but his body breaks down over two seasons and he just calls it quits. And Decker's gone and Glasgow's gone. I know people aren't super thrilled with him right now. My point is continuity is lost up front. Protection breaks down. Jared Goff isn't looking like an MVP. He's looking like a league average quarterback who has these turnover games. And all of a sudden your window, which you thought was 3 years or in perpetuity, is now over.
But that doesn't close. Next year could be the transition year for the O-line. A lot of things could go bad because of age and transition to what you probably want to be in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So next year could look like 9-8 and 10-7 if the offensive line kind of implodes.
Which is a huge issue.
But you might have the people in place from the draft class to make this offensive line better the next year. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like I know you guys used the Niners as an example. The Niners had a down year at 9-7 in 2021. But they got right at the right time and went all the way to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Rams. So it's really tough to answer because they're so young still.
We've alluded to Sheila's letter to the fans. We'll get to it at 7:35. Heather with the news.
Yeah. So this old school burger chain that was hot about 40 years ago is making a comeback, and it's going to open a couple of locations right here in Michigan. Do you guys, Jim probably doesn't, do you remember Hot 'N Now?
No.
No.
And I knew you wouldn't remember. You're too young.
I don't.
You don't remember? You know what? I don't think I've ever eaten there, but I do remember the iconic building. If you look it up, I'm sure you will recognize the building. It's a brand known for their really affordable double and triple cheeseburgers, an olive burger, and so much more. I think it was actually created in Kalamazoo. Well, there's
Sturgis,
only
Michigan.
One location still in Sturgis,
right.
But I believe that it originated in Kalamazoo, Michigan, started in 1984, but by mid-2000s, the company had filed for bankruptcy. Only
one
exists.
I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember the building? It's got
no.
That slanted roof.
Yeah.
It was known for basically just drive-through burgers.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's
coming back. So there's going to be two locations in Michigan they think open beginning this summer. The first one will be near Gun Lake Casino in Wayland, and the other one will be in Alpena. So for those who do remember and enjoyed it back in the day, you'll be able to do so again very, very soon.
Hey, hopefully it takes off. I love myself a double cheeseburger.
Who doesn't? Just
you.
Me.
I was gonna say, yeah, you.
And Doug.
Yes.
Yeah. At least 10 people have died so far as a result of this dangerous cold that has just kind of swept over the country, particularly in the southern states, because they're not used to this type of weather. This rare winter storm has brought record snowfall to places like Louisiana, Alabama, Florida. You might have seen some pictures. The state of Louisiana just got pummeled with snow, so much so that they're experiencing their first ever blizzard warning. Mm. Never had one before. Bourbon Street, people were out there making snowballs, having a snowball fight. Some people were skiing down Bourbon Street.
I saw a video of it, yeah.
It, crazy, right? All fun and games, but it is very serious.
It's got to be harder to earn beads when it's that cold.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Could be.
I know, you stand out more.
True.
At attention. Anyway.
Anyway, I was saying, it is more
you
serious.
You made a great point.
People in Texas, Alabama, Georgia have died from either hypothermia, or there's big car crashes that are taking place because of the storm. So it's very concerning. Also here, obviously, we're used to the cold weather, but it is extremely cold, and it can be challenging for some people to actually, deal with all of this. There's warming centers that are popping up across Wayne, Macomb, Oakland counties. There are two emergency locations for overnight shelter if you need it. Also, they say, hey, visit a city recreation center or a library to just get warmth if that's what you need. Also, I saw an article because we have had to turn to space heaters in our house because our furnace just, it cannot keep up with this cold.
Yeah.
And upstairs in the kids' rooms, it doesn't get warm enough for them, but I'm always terrified to use a space heater because I've heard all of the stats about this in particular, that space heaters account for over 50% of fires between November and February. But fire departments are saying, hey, they're getting a bad rap. If you use them properly, right, they shouldn't be so dangerous. So you want to make sure you keep anything that's flammable away from them about 3 feet. So that could be mattresses, blankets, pillows, curtains. Make sure you've got enough space. Make sure they're plugged directly into the wall, not into a surge protector or an extension cord. You want to make sure you have one that has an automatic shutoff in case that it's knocked over. And
stay away from the kerosene heaters.
Make sure it's not in like your walking path, and also shut it off or unplug it when you leave the house. So just some tips if you are using a space heater.
And I'm sure plenty are.
Yes, for sure.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, we'll read the letter from Lions owner Sheila Ford Hamp and ask the question, how will you remember this Lions season? Help write the obituary. It's 97.1.
Your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, and you can get there faster than you think with Ideal You. Go to idealyou.us now, and you could lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 40 days. Whether your resolution is to lose 10, 100, or anywhere in between, Ideal You works, and it works fast. We all love instant gratification. We love to see success. Ideal You is where you can find it. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days. So I was motivated to keep going. I lost 50 in the 40 prescribed days. Since then, I've dropped another 20, and it's because I got to eat real whole foods. It's not shakes or bars, so it's something that you can make a lifestyle change and stick with for the rest of your life. Ideal U's weight loss coaches work with you every single step of the way. Your coach is going to help you lose weight, and they're going to help you keep it off. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. Ideal You is a Michigan-based weight loss company that has helped thousands of people just like me and you lose weight. In fact, over 90%, that's 9 out of 10 Ideal You customers lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. I like those odds. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. If you sign up now, you're also going to get a $200 Visa gift card. Start your new year off right. Lose weight and get that $200 Visa gift card. Want to weigh less? Go to idealyou.us.
Bitterly cold out today. Stay warm. What was it? Negative 9 on our drive in today. Oof. And here's the worst part. I was told hell would freeze over when the Lions won the Super Bowl. We're getting frozen temperatures and we're not getting a Super Bowl.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call, the loss feels like hell, but this isn't hell.
Thank you, John. In a biblical sense, we are not.
Yes, we are not living
Satan.
In hell. Thank you. But pigs are flying, and they will play against the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah, that sucks. We do have a letter that was sent to Lions fans and season ticket holders from Sheila Ford Hamp, and I want to read that for people, and then we want you guys to try to sum up this season. It's been a couple days. Try to put it in its proper context. This was back-to-back division champs, 15 wins. A one seed, but they didn't win a single playoff game. And here's how Sheila addressed the season. Starting to get a little gravel in my voice. Maybe this will help the reading. Dear Lions loyal member, this is not the letter I was hoping to write to you this season. It's not the ending we wanted or were expecting. The fact of the matter is this. We had a great year, a record-setting season, but fell short of our ultimate goal. What never falls short is your support. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the support we have received from all of you, the city of Detroit, and the entire state of Michigan. Ford Field is a legitimate home field advantage, and that is because of you. It also felt like you gave us a home field advantage in most of the away stadiums we played this year. We appreciate you more than you will ever know. Your support continues to fuel us towards bigger things. I'm proud of the year we had. I'm proud of our players, our coaches, our personnel department, and our entire staff, because at the Lions, we live the one pride concept and truly win and lose together. I know this weekend was difficult, and the next few weeks will be hard to watch as other teams walk the path we envisioned. But please know that we have never been more motivated. I know the future will look different. The team that brought us so much success this year will never be together again. Pieces will change. But we are confident in where we are going and more aligned than ever as how we get there. One of the goals I set for our franchise is to create sustained success. The last 2 years have started that process. Back-to-back NFC North Division championships and home playoff appearances are the type of success that we envisioned and we are on the path to continuing that. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for donning your Honolulu blue, and thank you for continuing to be the driving force behind One Pride. Go Lions, Sheila Hamp.
That was great.
How do you sum up this season, John?
Are we doing the obit now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I thought you had a prepared obituary that you were going
to... Have you ever had to write an obit? I mean, that's a dark question.
I've had to contribute to some.
Realize yes. That was a dark question.
Yes.
No, this is not like the death of a family member or someone close to you, but for a lot of people, the death of a Super Bowl dream that we had been building up all season long. How do you sum up the season? If you don't want to use obituary, how do you sum up the season? She says she's proud, but they fell short. How do you... I think it was a failed season. I think they failed. And I don't think we should be afraid to say it. Dan Campbell has said as much. He said, yeah. I've looked in the mirror. I've acknowledged that I failed. And now it's what am I going to do about it? John, I think this was a cruel season in a lot of ways because it was such a tease. They didn't win a single playoff game. I would say cruel would be a word I would use.
Yeah, it was. So I don't necessarily. Okay, the way that it ended, yeah, is cruel. And yeah, it's ultimately a failure. But, I mean, the ride along the way, which is what makes it so cruel at the end, was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you're putting together an obituary for the season because it did die, you know, you start thinking about all of the different moments that it had. And I would say that this season felt like it was 67 years old. 67 years in the making. Left behind two kids. One born in 91, 33 years old, and they went full Al Pacino, born at 66, and with a one-year-old. And those are the playoff wins. Like, there hasn't been a lot of bright spots, but you can look back and see some of the moments that have been building up to where the Lions are now. And the 15 wins, especially with all of the challenges that they had to overcome, like, this was a team that they refused to die until it eventually died of self-inflicted wounds, five turnovers in the divisional round. Like, that's where it's cruel. That's where you're left with, why did this happen? And why did they go through and make all the sacrifices to only come up short in the end?
Ticket Texter says to him, the season was a, quote, total waste. Says, well, may as well have been 8-9.
I disagree.
And then it signed SOL Ben.
Yeah, okay.
The first part, I agree. It is a waste.
A wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
But the season wasn't a waste.
Well, no, I think it was a waste.
We all enjoyed 15 wins.
But for what? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Okay, so you're basically saying, would you rather have a Patricia year or year that we had?
John, I didn't agree with the second half of the text. I'm not calling it SOL. I'm not saying I'd rather go 8-9. My point is, when you win 15 games with this roster and you have home games throughout the playoffs and you don't win a single one of them, it is a waste. It's a wasted opportunity. It's a wasted season. It's in many ways, a lost season in what is a Super Bowl window.
So our perspective is a little bit different because I'm going to reserve some of those adjectives until I get a chance to look back in 5 years and say, what did they learn from this season? What did they learn from being 3-13-1? What did they learn from being 9-8? What did they learn from a 12-win season last year? Ultimately, does it end in a Super Bowl or multiple Super Bowl opportunities and victories for this franchise? What did they take away from this? How is Dan Campbell? We've seen him learn and become a better head coach over his 4 years.
He said, when you're built the right way, failure only makes you stronger, which is what you're alluding to.
Right.
He also said that the NFC title may have been the only shot they get.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say, like, they failed epically. It made them stronger in the regular season, but that did not do them any favors in the postseason. They still lost handily at home. Texter says, I compare them to the Tigers from 06 to 2012. Hopefully that changes. It does have some of those feelings. How would you sum up this Lions season? It's 97.1. All right, guys. Moran Chevrolet officially Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer for 2024. We're only going to tell you about the best around here, and it's huge. They're celebrating with awesome deals all month long. So get off the sideline and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet. You're looking for a new vehicle? How about this? The 2025 Trax, $249 a month for 39 months. That's $999 down. Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price. Period. Score your best deal, shop online, shop around moranexpress.com, or you want to get out there, get behind the wheel, grash it north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Sheila wrote a letter to Lions season ticket holders saying, proud of the season, but they fell short of the goal. So how do you sum it up? If you were asked to write the obituary of this Lions season, it died on Saturday night, how would you sum up a year where they win 15 games, win the division, have the one seed, but don't win a single playoff game? Ticket Texter says, it's a fairy tale without the happy ending. It's fun and games during the story, but at the end, there's no happy ending. So what was the point? Texter says, I would describe the season as a choke because their game plan for Saturday was a joke.
Oh, everyone likes to rhyme.
Yeah, a little like Dr. Seuss at the obituary at the funeral.
Yeah, here lies Lester Moore. No less, no more.
In a couple years, we'll look back and say, this was the season of injuries. That's how it will be remembered. I understand that. I still think they should have won Saturday with the injuries.
I agree.
The injuries may have been the thing that got them in the NFC title or even the Super Bowl, but then at least at that point, we would have said they held serve from the year before. Now it feels like that's a step backwards. As much as it's a step forward, winning 15 games, what did it actually mean? It meant you got further away from the Super Bowl.
So here's where I would say the injuries on defense played a part. It's early in the season when you play Houston, and you don't play your best game, but your defense stands up.
Yep.
That's when you've got the ability to play, you know, quote-unquote, complementary football. And it's when one side of the ball isn't playing its best, that's when it's the other two phases that have to step up and play well. And when you get to the end of the season, defense has been ravaged by injuries. Offense doesn't play well, obviously, in the playoff game. The defense wasn't able to step up and take control.
That's true. I just think knowing what defense took the field on Saturday night, they still could have won that game if they don't commit five turnovers.
I agree.
And I think that's where we get into the waste.
Yeah.
A word that I used. You didn't like that word. I said waste. And Dan Campbell's even referred to this as a failure. He said he looked in the mirror.
Yeah, I've used failed. That term as well.
Yeah, and I don't think people kind of bristle at it. It's a harsh word, failure. In sports, you win or you lose. You succeed or you fail. And,
to me,
and it's healthy to acknowledge the failure because you're going to have to learn from it.
Well, a lot of it is semantics. To me, it's a failure because you didn't ultimately attain the goal that you set out at the beginning of the season. You did everything to do you needed to do to set yourself up for success, and the opposite of success is failure. Mm-hmm. It only becomes a waste, and this is where I think failure is. The time frame is now. Waste. I'm going to look back at this, and we're talking about a different time frame to say how did they use this to make themselves better, to ultimately win a Super Bowl. If they don't use this failure to move forward, then yeah, it's a waste.
I think John's right with this semantical thing. I would say I'm not willing to go waste.
Why?
Because I just think there's things that came out of this, and you've got, they failed on their ultimate goal. They failed big time not winning Saturday. I think that's unforgivable almost.
Yeah.
And they opened up a thing in my mind with their quarterback that I'm not so sure about him going forward. And I'll leave it at that. We can talk about that more in the offseason.
But that's what I talk about.
But I'm going to say this right now. Lost opportunity. Not waste. Lost opportunity. And you may say, well, that's splitting hairs. But there is injuries. People always say injuries aren't an excuse. I would say it's the number one reason this season ended the way it did.
I would say the number one reason was Jared Goff.
I would not be that far away from you. But I would still say what John said about the Houston game, they had guys on defense that could save the day. And that was without Hutch by then. This team had the look like it had the capability of sprinting start to finish through the regular season when they had their top defensive players. And when they slowly lost them, that all fell apart. But the team continued to sprint. And I think that was a little bit of a mistake. seasons, you can go through seasons and make it more of a marathon where maybe it isn't so. It's hard to say this, but change the mentality of the kneecap thing a little bit to where maybe they should have taken it a little bit easier at times during the season. I'll tell you what, right now, there is a ticket text, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. When the Red Wings went through the 96 season and they won 61 games and set the NHL record at that time, they sprinted, and the gas ran out in the tank. It just did.
But
and I do think
saying.
A lesson learned is that sometimes you don't need to go 15-2 and sprint. You started losing players. You needed to treat this more as the end game is the playoffs. And look, Minnesota pushed them. The whole NFC North ended up being inflated. I suggested that to you off the air. You know it, Jim, a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, one thing to look at here, if you really look between the lines, the top three NFC North teams went 12-0 against the AFC South. Was it really that good?
I would have a hard time saying that they should have pulled back the reins, because I just know so much of what they believe in this culture is pushing things forward and putting your best foot forward and playing to win every single day. I don't know that you can rewire that, and if that's even a good thing.
I will say this. Whether you can really do that on the fly or not is probably questionable. I'll admit that. But there was a narrative out there, especially by the national media, did the Lions peak too soon? And I think you can make the case that they did.
248-539-9797. Let's get to Jay in Walled Lake. Jay, you're on 97.1.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Good.
I got to tell you, this is the most cognizant and pragmatic discussion I've heard so far about the game, gentlemen.
Oh, sorry about that. Continue.
I just want to let you know, the discussion you're having so far this morning makes more sense than a lot of the stuff I'm hearing. It really does. You guys are making a lot of really good points. I will say, however, I think I'm really uncomfortable with the use of the word waste. I think that's way too strong of a word. They failed to reach the objective, but to call it a waste, and for every individual Detroiter in the city who's been so fired up with this for so many months now, to look back at all of the experience, all of the games, all of the enjoyment and the excitement, and to just say, it was a total waste. I could equate it to with the same metric. You go to a really nice restaurant and you buy a really expensive steak and it's the most delicious meal you've ever had. Well, when it's gone, then it's gone. Was it a waste?
No, because the goal of the dinner was to eat the steak. The goal of the season was to win the Super Bowl. That's why I feel like we can call it a waste. I don't know why that's a sticking point for people. They were the 15-win, one seed in the NFC, and won zero playoff games. Waste is not a stretch. Waste is what it was. We got Dustin's update. More of your phone calls. It's 97.1.